Jeffrey Short, the chemist who served as the lead scientist for Mandy Lindenberg's hole-digging enterprise, first came north to take a job excavating ditches for NOAA's fisheries division on the Alaskan Peninsula. He had grown up during the Sputnik era, around Edwards Air Force Base in Lancaster, California, where his father was a rocket engineer. Once, playing outside on a summer evening, Short saw a bright light on the horizon in the direction of the base. When he came home, his father explained that one of the Atlas rockets he worked on had exploded. Perhaps not surprisingly, the younger Short grew into one of those nerd kids that was blowing stuff up. He once forced an evacuation of his family's house when an experimental vacuum chamber he had made from an old refrigerator compressor spewed sulfur dioxide gas. At the University of California, he studied philosophy and biochemistry. He studied physical chemistry in graduate school and then earned a doctoral degree in fishery biology at the University of Alaska. He grew into a wiry man with thinning brown hair and a face that seemed to radiate bemused curiosity. Short's training in both biology and quantitative chemistry drew him toward the chemical mysteries of oil as far back as the 1970s, when the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System first began to pump crude to Valdez. At that time, the U.S. government had not conducted much study about what effects spilled or seeping oil might have on a marine environment such as Prince William Sound. Federal government and oil company research programs, including an initiative called the Outer Continental Shelf Environmental Assessment Program, provided funding for Short and other scientists to study the subject. As of the mid-1970s, most of the research into oil's poisonous effects on fish and mammals had been derived from the methods used to assess chemical compounds for the insecticide industry. Those methods focused on a chemical compound's short-term or acute toxicity, how much of a particular compound was required to kill half of exposed animals after 96 hours of continuous exposure. Such assessments could make clear to manufacturers and regulators which compounds were the most immediately poisonous and required special handling. But 96-hour bioassays, as research chemists refer to them, constituted a narrow way to consider the full toxic potential of a chemical compound. As he began to think about oil, Jeffrey considered that there might be other longer-term effects on an animal that endured after an initial oil exposure. Petroleum is referred to as a fossil fuel because it was formed from the remains of ancient algae and zooplankton. Early in the 20th century, scientists believed oil came from the remains of dinosaurs. The more recent theory that the source was mainly microscopic plant life is widely accepted but still relies on some speculation. The plant residues were gradually transformed into oil across eons by heat and pressure beneath the Earth's surface. Because oil originated in biomass, it is chemically complex. Each batch of petroleum presents a distinct blend of hundreds of thousands of chemical compounds. Researchers have characterized only a small percentage of oil's full chemical makeup, but they have divided the most abundant and easily separable compounds into several classes of hydrocarbons, that is, combinations with distinct arrangements of the elements hydrogen and carbon. One class, known as aliphatic hydrocarbons, is essentially safe for living creatures. Another class, the asphaltenes, is often what is left over after oil is refined by industrial processes. These compounds are used to glue rocks together as asphalt. A third class, called aromatic compounds, has the potential to damage living tissue and biological systems. About a week after the Exxon Valdez ran aground on Bligh Reef, Jeffrey Short found himself on a boat headed into Prince William Sound to participate in the first round of environmental damage assessments. He was interested in which compounds from the spilled oil were dissolving into seawater, at what concentrations, and at what levels of depth. At first, he collected seawater directly, but soon he began to use bay mussels as his measuring instruments. A single mussel will pump a liter of water through itself in an hour as it scavenges for nutritious particles. In the process, it will gather and concentrate pollutants with unusual efficiency. Short dropped cages full of mussels into Prince William's Sound and lowered them to varying depths, at 1, 5, and 25 meters. We weren't really sure how big the impacts were going to be below the surface, he recalled. The predominant thinking at the time was that there would not be much in the way of effects. His muscles provided an initial baseline measurement of oil dissolved in the Sound's seawater. The traditional studies suggested there should not be large fish kills because the dissolved concentrations of aromatic compounds would not be high enough. Yet scientists never really had had the chance to study this assumption in the field, or to explore the possible sublethal or subtler long-term effects of spilled oil, which might damage fish or animals without killing them outright. Short knew it sounded cold-hearted, but he regarded the Exxon Valdez accident as a historic opportunity to see how a big oil spill might affect marine life outside a lab. Of Prince William's marine inhabitants, salmon and herring were the two species that mattered most economically. Five large commercial hatcheries dotted the Sound's shores. Together, they formed one of the largest pink salmon hatchery systems in the world. Pink salmon particularly suited Jeffrey Short's research agenda because the fish's life cycle and migration patterns were strictly predictable. Whether it is wild or commercially hatched, a pink salmon born in Prince William Sound will swim out from its birthplace to the Gulf of Alaska and return 2 years later to its exact place of origin. After their initial water measurements using mussels, Short and his colleagues, along with other government-funded scientists at the Auk Bay laboratories and elsewhere, studied the mortality rates of salmon hatched from streams along beaches that had been heavily oiled by the Valdez spill. They compared these rates of mortality to those of fish hatched along beaches that had not been oiled. A mystery soon presented itself. Several years after the initial spill, when the surface oil had been cleaned up and the beaches seemed restored, the scientists observed lower survival rates among fish reared downstream from beaches that had earlier been oiled. In the places with the lower survival rates, fish embryos and young fish had likely been exposed to dissolved oil, but in very low concentrations. Not enough to harm them, according to traditional bioassay studies.